that was piece of Linkin Park, of course. Doing Something Where I Belong, Somewhere May I Feel Like It's Somewhere I Belong. And like their speech, I had nothing to say and I get lost in nothingness inside me. I was confused and led it all to find that I'm not the only person with these things in mind inside of me. But all that I can see, the words revealed, is the only real thing that I've got to left to feel. Nothing to lose, just hollow and alone. The fault is my own. The fault is my own. I want to heal. I want to feel. I thought I was never real. I want to get let go of the pain I've felt so long. Erase all the pain till it's gone. I want to feel. I want to feel like I'm close. I can't sing like them, can I? Anyway, that was a great song. And, of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank all of you for listening in, and I apologize for the ambient sounds of trash cans moving around. All those out there, I want to wish you also, first of all, I want to thank everybody for listening in. Of course, again, this is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly. I want to thank you for listening in, and I want to also wish those who celebrate Memorial Weekend in the United States be safe and have a happy Memorial Weekend. I do want to put a quick silent moment, because my thoughts and prayers for all those who have been affected by the recent tornadoes in Oklahoma. God bless you all, and God bless all those who have been recently affected or have perished upon this plane and transferred to another plane. And with that, I want to thank everybody. Okay, the reason I want to get into this issue, I was going to go into, have a show last week about energy, and I have to say, well, I had a new one come into my family. I had another grandchild. It's amazing when you see new ones, new generations come in, and new people, and especially when your own kids have kids upon kids, right? It shows how we always continue things within our lives and how circumstances continue on irrespective of what happens. Life does go on. Life moves forward. Things just seem to go. But we also have things. Things are not always destined. Things have choices in what we do, and I've often spoken about this. I had a really heavy conversation. I know I'm getting off tangent. I don't want to get off of this. But I had a really interesting conversation through the dialogue on Facebook. We were talking about with a lot of people over the issues of choice versus destiny and over the death penalty. And of course, we were talking about recent decisions of Jody Arias's death penalty. But that brings a question of another dynamics, which I've gone into. But it has a lot to do with things when we make choices and destiny, and we do have destiny. What some have said, and I don't remember call who said this, so I apologize for that, has said knowledge is power. If you know things or are aware of certain things, it is extremely powerful. Of course, there's also deceitful things, things that are implied that people portray for their own slanted views to perpetrate a division, of course, amongst humanity, instead of embellishing humanity on a whole. And that would be like, and I'll just say his name, like Noam Chomsky and people like that. And it doesn't matter whether it's left side or right side, to make up and just plethora of BS, purely simple. And it will be basically accelerate throwing oil in the fire of hate instead of unification. Those who do that tend to end up creating more problems. And they become diversions. And the reason I'm getting into this is because it also affects our dynamics and history as we know it. And that's what I'm going to get into, the history of from the energy perspective of why it's truly understand of diversion of knowledge and there is true knowledge. Things are can get diverted from your in front of your face. So like I said, somehow when you have knowledge is said to have power. So if you really knew, for example, if you really knew that we have at this moment the ability to have free energy, with this knowledge, what would happen to the average person? What would it be? In fact, more than likely, instantaneously change humanity. There is destiny, but we have free will which supersedes destiny. We make our destiny with our choices. So if you're talking of all these people, I don't care who they are, if it's on the right wing, left wing, middle wing, cuckoo mongo wing, whatever, if they're a mentality of division, they're part of the problem, not a solution. And those who continue throwing them out there are actually making more mud in the water, so to speak. They're not making things clear and simplified and separate things. And when I talk about dynamics around the Middle East and things like that, I'm just telling how things are. But there is a solutions. I know there are, so I look for solutions, and I talk of solutions and the reality of being pragmatists and how people really are, what the situations are, and trying to get to realize how we are. And how would this all change in a heartbeat? Really simple. I've gotten the aspects of the separation mentality. That is, has to change. But there's a history that's gone on, and it's gone on for the last 200-300 years, that actually influenced a lot of the dynamics to accelerate and expand that division mentality for a reason of diversion. It's part of the politics of energy and control. Now, if you look on what is energy, energy is, if you can look at it, what is source energy? I mean, people can look at energy when we use energy from animals or, you know, human labor, energy. But when we think of energy to move machinery, move devices, to free us up from labor, right? Outside animal or man-made labor, we can look into the history of perspective that we've often used. One source was water, of course. We had water from far as ancient China to Samaria that move mills and move things in Egypt and everywhere. We use water to turn turbines right now. We use it, in fact, to create turbines to produce electricity. We've also have wind. Wind has always been, you know, you probably like the little windmills in Holland. We've had wind utilizing the move as form energy. We've used wind to move ships with sail ships for thousands of years, right? But what has really revolutionized humanity? What made us move into the industrial age, which say lasts in the 1800s, where it really dynamically changed things in a heartbeat? It was simply a major, major, major change. And it all came from, if you look into history, it started with Newton's understanding of physics. And that developed the piston drive machine, the mechanical things. People call mechanical physics of machinery, dynamics, propulsions, the physical side of physics, gravity, things that you see. This is what developed from Newtonian understandings of physics. And out of that became the famous thing with the transfer of energy into another form of energy. And this continued on. And from that, out of that understanding of transference of energy, led on to the utilization of steam. We'd heat some water, boil it up, and that steam would drive that piston. Thus we had the locomotive. Thus we had the machines to move things, to create things. It started the massive change in the industrial age, the cotton mills and so on. And then it continued on from this Newtonian physics we also utilize coal. So we went from like wood to coal to heat the water. And the oil, the water would boil up, and which would make steam. We'd use that instead of wood then, because, you know, it would last longer. Then there was a discovery of utilizing crude oil and distilling it in different factions. We have distillations. We distill it, you know, to diesel or to purifying to getting even to further to get gas out. And what does it do? Again, explosion. Now we went from steam to push those pistons to gas to create an explosion, or diesel fuel or some fuel to cause explosion. We still use coal. And then we use it with the discovery of creating big magnets. We wanted to create electricity. So we figured, we can put big turbines into the ocean, and, you know, in waters, excuse me, like in the Niagara Falls, and that cause the turbines to move, again, using water to convert into electricity, the conversion. And we still had that understanding of conversions. But we also started utilizing coal and gas to move these turbines to create electricity, which is what became the magnet quantum view of understanding, because we started using electronics, electricity to our house, to light our homes, to power our machines. And this form of electricity became electromagnetism, which was found in every day. It is even stronger than gravity. It is the understanding of quantum. It even defies the understanding of Newtonian physics, because there is no gravity with electrons. It's stronger. It defies a lot of things. And it became the moon of electrons and photons. And this came to create a greater understanding of things. And because of this greater understanding, it changed our industry, changed things. We began to discover that with electricity, first we were told that was matter. As the old thing in relativity theory, E equals MC squared, that matter equals energy, we found that's sort of limited. In fact, there's a thing called waves within energy. So we have matter and waves. So we've discovered that energy can be both wave and matter. And people are, what the hell is a wave? Well, I'm not going to give a physics lesson here, but quantum physics is based on showing those two. There are waves called photons. And then that is not matter. That's a wave. We know that. Something there. So we have this another understanding of energy. And then we found now through physics, there are multiple layers of energy. But we're going to discuss in this particular thing called electromagnetic energy fields. Because we discovered this utilization, understanding of electromagnetic fields, well over 200 years, back in the 1800s. This is what Tesla developed and discovered. And this became the birth of our understanding and the use of radiant energy. Because electromagnetic EM radiation, which can be capitalized as a stream of photons, this radiant energy can be viewed as energy carried by these photons. Alternatively, the electromagnetic radiation can be viewed as an electromagnetic wave, which carries energy in its oscillating electromagnetic fields. These two views are completely equivalent and are reconciled to one another in quantum field. Now, unfortunately, if you want to show the power of that's out there in the universe with electromagnetic energy, just look how powerful a tornado is, how powerful a hurricane is. When people talk about global warming caused by carbon, no. That's not the truth. That's sort of a Newtonian way of looking at our weather, which is actually incorrect. And most physicists, especially nuclear physicists, would say that's what caused it. That's why there's the question of human causing element of, and it's a big question, of causing the climate change that we have to speak, because it's affected by our electromagnetic fields. Not saying that it can't be affected, because, you know, with the BP oil spill in the Gulf, that did change it. See, our weather patterns are affected by electromagnetic layers. This is electromagnetic layers of the radiant energy. There are waves. They're figure like waves, ocean waves, and they're like up and up and up. That is what is around us. They're like little waves, like little, like you can cut them in pieces, like a layered cake. And the interchanges between them. And that's where the electricity, these photons, go back and forth, and how we can capitalize them. And we have the ability to capitalize them. We have that ability. In fact, you can probably see it in some forms, and I'll explain that later. But that's the true nature of what global warming or climate change is. It's a changing of our electromagnetic fields. And the only way it can really change is the use of, like, you've probably heard of HARP, and you can look on them. They actually, that's where human can zero in using microwaves in a particular form to change our weather patterns. But it's only temporary, because it's so hard, because our space is so hard, you would have to have so many of these to change. It would be micro, and it sort of self-adjusts. And I don't want to get into that. That's a whole different element. Right now, I want to talk about energy. I have a problem sometimes. I get off tangent, huh? Anyway, like I said, radiant energy is the energy of electrical magnetic waves. And because electromagnetic radiation, and I'll call it EM for now on, electromagnetic radiation can be capitalized as a stream of photons. Radiate energy can be viewed as the energy carried by these photons. Alternatively, EM radiation can be viewed as a, like I said, an electromagnetic wave, which carries these energy in its oscillating field between electrical and magnetic fields. These two views are completely equivalent within, like I said, within the quantum field theory and understanding with the wave-particle duality. That's what I was just talking about, wave-particle pattern. This is the duality, the wave-particle system of duality. Further, in the future of power, resources is based upon our radiant energy, which is naturally available. For hundreds of years, researchers knew it is possible to harness it from the environment, but only a few of them knew how to tap to it. And there's absolutely zero cost, because the natural energy can be harnessed directly from the environment. Sometimes, mistakenly called static electricity, or it can be extracted from ordinary electricity throughout a method called fractionation. Radiant energy works just like ordinary traditional electricity, except for one thing. It costs less than 1% of its price. There was a brilliant engineer or inventor such as Dr. Nikola Tesla, Edwin Gray, Dr. Henry Moray, or Paul Braman, which had succeeded in the last 100 years to find its secret. They reported a costless cold form of electric power, and they made demonstrations after demonstrations in front of hundreds and hundreds of witnesses using the relatively simple equipment that, yes, indeed, radiant energy exists and how to utilize it. Radiant energy behaves somehow different than a traditional electricity. And this is one reason it has been so misunderstood by the scientific community over the years. Now, let me tell you, going into the secret of Tesla's understanding of radiant energy. First of all, Nikola Tesla, and you can always look him up, probably heard his name thousands of times, now more recent than ever. In fact, he's developed more things. It's the reason why we have alternative, we don't have direct current. There's a multitude of things he did. He's the one who actually discovered and developed the radio. It wasn't Marconi. It was actually Tesla, which is now was confirmed that he had his patented in before Marconi. In fact, Marconi sort of ripped it off from him. Anyway, it was Nikola Tesla, the pioneer of modern electricity. and it first studied it since 1889 and applied it as an active primary principle in his magnifying transmitter. He knew of its great potential and benefit for the whole humanity at large as an alternative source of energy. Being seen as a threat, though, by the industrial Mongols and bankers of that time, Tesla was simply stopped in his research and prevented from a full manifestation of its work. And his goal was a world power system based on this cost-free electrical energy. But his attempt, again, was bothered by the many actors, or you say, the energy industry owners and bankers of that day, because they worked one-on-one at that time, and they still do. He was actually deprived of funds and ridiculed of his opinions. He managed, though, to develop using the same principle into a smaller device. The teeny machine used no magnets and batteries and gathered the energy directly from the environment. And then it was in 1930 he actually accomplished his mission and device, which powered a Pierce Arrow automobile. In 1887, a man named Heinrich Hertz claimed to have discovered the existence of electromagnetic waves. Tesla was also making researches in the field. Of course, you know Hertz, because now you know where Hertz came from. Tesla was also making researches in that same field, and during those experiments, he made a series of observations, which finally led to the discovery of a radiant energy. Experimenting with the direct and current discharges, Tesla saw a new force in the process. In 1892, he announced the astounding discovery in paper named the Dissipation of Electricity. The announcing came after an exhausting experimental trials, which took him 3 years. What most of the academic society missed to understand was the fact that the transformer from the 1892 paper operated in a brand new domain of physics. This innovative domain was based on abrupt discharges of electrical potentials followed by the release of radiant sustainable energy. Tesla's vision of the cosmos, due to his developed sense of awareness and his natural intuitive instincts, made him understand the important role how ether played in all the manifestations of electrical phenomena. His contemporaries missed that and focused only on the electromagnetic component. The controversy cleared in 1905 when Einstein published his famous theory of relativity and the Michelson-Morley experiment took place. Tesla's deduction, in fact, came before Einstein, but before Einstein made his relativity theories. In fact, he was following Einstein before Einstein came in, if you think about it. Tesla's deduction regarding the role of ether regained their place in the academic arena. There was also another visionary radio scientist known as, and I mentioned him just briefly, Dr. Thomas Henry Morley, who created about the same time an energy source, working absolutely with no fuel. And then in 1935, he had actually developed a small apparatus which was able to produce 50,000 watts of cold form of electricity. As all that time scientists did, he assembled demonstrations displaying his invention in front of hundreds. Morley, as well as Tesla, named this new power of electricity radiant energy. But unfortunately for Thomas Morley, in the 1930s, him and his family were threatened, shot at, beaten. His love was consistently ransacked and failing. Ultimately, he was stopped from producing his free energy work or even public demonstrations. Then there was Edwin Gray Sr. who retook the researches in the 1950s. Fascinated as well by the alternative idea of alternative energy. For almost 15 years, he made experiments and run tests and tried to assemble working models of renewable energy providers. He discovered a high voltage capacitors can be charged and discharged and shocked to release a radiant form electrostatic burst. This was a captured in a gadget he used to call the conversion element switching tube. This released a cold form of energy, which he powered motors, home appliances, recharged batteries. This process was named splitting the positive by Mr. Ray. This discovery helped him lead to the 1970 create electrical automobile that ran 80 miles per hour, which kept its own batteries charged continually. He also held demonstrations in his laboratory with press and witnesses. In 1950, Paul Braumann revives a technique within Switzerland and starts building working models of a machine he called the Testika machine. He kept this quiet and discreet and didn't reveal officially the experiments, but eyewitnesses have seen electric status generating device producing a cold form of electricity. In Linden, Switzerland, within the community, a group founded in 1950, living in an environmentally friendly social, has 5 to 6 working models of this 100% free fuel self-running device. It's a fact. It seems that after decades of experiments and research in 2000, Dr. Peter Lundman understood the secret behind all these attempts and finally cracked the secret. In September, Dr. Lehman presented the results of his hard-working years in technical field, after which he wrote a book called Free Energy Secrets of Cold Electricity, in which he elaborates on this principle. Now, going back to Tesla, the Tesla generator, which has the inexhaustible gift of free energy, basically a Tesla generator can bring unlimited electricity in homes by simply pushing a rod into the ground and then turning on an electric appliance. Not only homes, but of offices, farms, streets, lights, libraries, villages, cold could rely on their lighting needs by being satisfied by this device. This is the most exquisite green, those people who are involved with wanting to protect the environment, approach of our lifestyle we can have today. Tesla's outstanding energy source still raises questions amongst ordinary folk, engineers, but the future belongs to it. Since the traditional electrical energy will be scarcer and harder, therefore more and more expensive. And unlike wind and solar energy, the initial investment is practically symbolic, and no advanced knowledge in engineering or construction is required. It's already there. We already have this, the utilization of this. So this is where it's developed. And this has been developed, and we have it. You see, free energy is simple. It is one that creates energy in an open system. I'm trying to say this simplified, it might sound like I'm repeating it myself, but I'm trying to reestablish this over and over so you, in simple terms. A free energy device is one that creates energy in an open system. This means that the physical device is open to take energy from around its environment. Today, our educational institutions and mainstream science have perpetuated the idea that these systems cannot be created. Why? In order to uphold and maintain a system of belief, one must teach. People are now, today, waking up to the fact that not everything on planet Earth is at what we seem. New truths are actually starting to infiltrate the consciousness of the masses. That brings the question of where we are as destiny and our choices. It is likely that the free energy devices do exist, and like many other discoveries, they have always been simply concealed and hidden from the human race. The energy is extracted from what we call space-time. It's the energy all around us that we can't even see. You do not see waves in front of you. You don't see electrical pulses flying. You don't see gamma radiation. You can't see these things, but they exist. It's not what necessarily you see. A device like this cannot have a meter on it. That is the problem. It can't be measured. No price tag can be put on it. That's why it becomes free. This means that the free energy device is simply a threat to what? Threat to industry that controls our world and the people on it. The energy industry. The energy industry dictates who has access to life and who doesn't. It's that simple. Think about it. Look where its funding comes from. The big banking system. And what maintains the status quo. Quid pro quo, as they say. It's easy to make connections between the energy, the pharmaceutical, the health, the food, the educational industries. They wrapped up into each other. Let's take a look what would happen concealed from this form, and I'm going to get into that. You will see this as I show this and discover within clips from a recent movie called Thrive. But let me go back again. And factually look them up. Some of you are aware of them, some of you may not be. Nikola Tesla, who had his radiant energy device, he created this back in the 1800s, you can look it up. And then it was destroyed by J.P. Morgan because it produced wireless, free, unregulated energy, just as I said. Now, there was much later, he destroyed, he was funded by, because what happened was basically J.P. Morgan, hey, I want you to make a generator. Well, Tesla made a generator, but it was this big old, it was called, you can look it up, I forget the name of it, but my mind just went off because I'm telling you just, this is just straight off. It was a device that actually went, picked up layers of free energy and it would impulse, like he can hold tubes of fluorescent tubes and they light up. This was done wirelessly. Well, J.P. Morgan freaked out. He goes, well, how can I regulate this? Well, basically he says, it's free. It's dispersing free energy to people. Well, J.P. Morgan freaked out because his whole idea was he was looking for a generator making traditional electricity that would produce things that would actually cause us to, he can actually regulate and make money off of. Put a regulator, count how many times it's going through, right? The little meter on your, this would mean there's no meters. There's no, there wouldn't be a Department of Water and Power. There wouldn't be, any of these, there wouldn't be Edison. There wouldn't be any of these energy companies. There wouldn't be Chevron Oil, BP, Shell Oil. What would happen to them? And there's monies involved with them. It would change dynamics. Now, Tesla, even though he did this and it was destroyed, because J.P. Morgan destroyed it, he still had the knowledge in his head and he had the plans. So he was developing his own thing. This is out in Virginia. You can look this up. This is actual fact. The U.S. military actually invaded his home and his lab and took and destroyed everything he had in there. Why? Why would the United States government send in its armed forces to destroy Tesla's stuff? Money? Power? Now, I mentioned, a man named Stanley Meyer. Stanley Meyer, you may have heard of. You look him up. He actually developed a famous thing called the Stanley Myers water fuel cell. You look it up. It's actually, he produced 9 patents. It was probably around 1990, which related to his water power car. In 1998, he suddenly died. Mysteriously. That's a fact. Eugene Malov. He was notable proponent and supporter of research into cold fusion. He authored a book, which is called Fire from Ice, which details the 1989 report of tabletop cold fusion from Stanley Pons and Michael Fleischman at the University of Utah. The book claims the team did produce a greater than unit output of energy in an experiment which supposedly was successfully replicated in multiple occasions. Mysteriously, he was fatally beaten to death in May 14, 2004, in Northridge, Connecticut. You see, even today, as in the past, it has continued on and on and on and on and on. But there is, we have the form of free energy. And the more we have it out there, more the public can realize it's there, they can't do anything about it. Nobody, they can't stop it. If it takes us, the general population, to implement the free energy systems, to put power on, there's no army that could stop it. No amount of anything could stop it. If you, me, and all of us get behind it, it will happen. I want you to listen to this tape. This is an excerpt from a movie called Thrive. It was by, with has Brian O'Leary. You probably heard of him. He is a well-known NASA science researcher. But I want you to listen to him for just a brief moment.
I started to examine the breakthrough solutions, and much to my surprise, these concepts have been proven in hundreds of laboratories throughout the world, and yet they have not really seen the light of day.
Rather than smashing things together and trying to control the explosion, these new technologies rely on blending, of dancing with what naturally is. The common denominator of all the free energy devices I've seen is that they mimic, in one way or another, the torus energy shape.
If the new energy technologies were to be set free worldwide, the change would be profound. It would affect everybody. It would be applicable everywhere. These technologies are absolutely the most important thing that's happened in the history of the world.
So like I said, that was from Brian O'Leary, and he is actually a physicist. He's located, I believe, in Princeton. He used to work for NASA. So, and he was telling like how it is. We do have these systems as right now. Another person you may have heard is Dr. Steve Greer. Of course, he has a movie recently called Cyrus, which was out, and I believe it's coming out in theaters. You can look it up. He also had made a very interesting statement in a movie, on the same movie of Thrive, and I want you to listen to this, because he embellishes on what threatens us and where we could be, and it's what I've been saying over and over and over again.
The energy is extracted from the fabric of the space around us, which means it cannot be metered. That is a direct threat to the single largest industry in the world, energy. It's goodbye ExxonMobil, goodbye oil, goodbye coal, goodbye linear transmission of electricity to power lines, all that gone. Unfortunately, it's someone's $200 trillion piggy bank. The proven oil and gas and coal reserves are worth north of $200 trillion. This information coming out would completely change geopolitical power more than anything since, well, in recorded human history. And it would happen in a generation.
Now, of course, that was from the movie Thrive, which I definitely should see that. It's a very good movie. But like I said, you know, why you've been deceived and lied to? Why all the diversions from the left and right wing? It's made to divert you from the truth. Why they make you realize diversions? Because they continue the magic trick. If they make you fighting amongst each other and feel divided, it deceives your energy into the wrong course. If you have people standing on the right way, the right wing, left wing, liberal, conservative, that's all actually pure bullshit. It's to get you to think the opposite. I don't care if you think you're liberal or you think you're conservative and it's my way or the highway, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. And all because you are the part of the problem. You are part of the deception. And is diverse. You're part of the diversion. If you put that amount of energy that you have in your political divide and put the same energy into the implication of free energy, it would change things worldwide. Think about it. In reality, you've been deceived and lied to. Today, there is free energy. We have the implementation and the ability to produce free energy. That is an absolute fact. That's been around since Tesla for over 100 and some odd years, almost 150 years now. We've had this ability. My math might be around 120 years. We've had this ability to produce free energy. We have it today, even more so with the devices and technology we have. But what would free energy do? Well, we know free energy would take billions and billions of dollars off the map. Now, I want you to look at the history of how dynamics, before I get into it, I don't want to get into histories. If you go and look at the Middle East, a lot of that, everything that's gone on there, it has to do with energy. The fighting, the things that's gone on, originally from energy. It started with the British taking control because there was oil. And then you had everybody fighting amongst each other. You know, whether it was the Muslims versus the Muslims, Shiites versus Sunni, Jews against Muslims, Arabs and Jews, Christians. I mean, it was all the same. Why do you think when you hear the term interest by the American interest, you think they're talking about what's American interest? It's oil. Why are we so tight with the Saudis? The Middle Eastern policy of the United States is actually Saudi policy. It's not the bullshit you hear about of AIPAC, the American-Israeli bullshit. That's nonsense. It is oil. It is absolutely oil. That is king. And who's oil? It's Saudi. So that's our primer. See how it influences. All our energy is affected. And they'll actually create things that have fighting to go on. Because what happens with when there's conflict in the Middle East? Oil goes up in price. And who benefits from that? Oil companies. And who benefits from that? The bankers. Because they make more money too. Because they're backing a lot of they're backing the oil. So you see, it keeps on going. Now, if there was free energy, what would happen in the Middle East? What would happen in the world? It would change the status quo. It would change everything. Of course, right now they want to keep the same status quo. Let's look at it from a micro side. You, family, that you feed your mom and a dad, and you're feeding your family, living in your home. Free energy would what? And move those tractors for free? Producing food for free? Your shelter, free. Clothing would be used free. We'd have services and stuff probably. But as we get more robotized, that'd end up being free too. We'd move into a new society. Very futuristic, very much like Star Trek. Because it would be free. What would happen to our politics? Yes, we would have a new world order, but not a new world order run by a oligarchy. It'd be a new world order of how there's no division of hatred, of control, of manipulation. Because monetary system would be pulled out. It would slowly disseminate. We'd be focusing on developing ourselves. We had the ability to look at ourselves. People, if we held this stuff free, people just sit on the couch and not do anything. No. People would change. If we had free energy and all this stuff was taken off the picture, and then you had in front of you, I'd ask the average person, what would you like to develop? I want to learn to develop to be an artist. I want to develop to be more music. I want to develop to read. I want to read search. I want to do science. People would still do it. They would search and redevelop themselves, grow athletically, things. We can do so much. Wouldn't be dependent. It would change society so vastly. We would start exploring the world. This free energy would change our dynamics for ourselves. Yes, we would be exploring new places. We'd be looking into areas, knowing who we are as humanity. We'd be seeing the deepest of oceans and the far outspurts of space. It would change humanity at large. Yes, we would be more utopian. Of course, there's always going to be conflict because in society there is a cause and reaction of things. But it would have changed. We are at this point of change. We have the ability right now to implement free energy. And if we do that, generations from now will remember you were the generation. You were the generation that implemented. You were like the revolution. You were the next 1776. You were the change that caused everything. You were the shot that heard around the world. And it isn't a rescuer. There's not a Jesus or Mahdi or Muhammad or Moses or Mashiach. There's no one to save us. We are our own savior. We're no Pahana. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We have, with our knowledge, if we implement, we can do it. In spite of the power. Knowledge is power. Just to think of what would happen to our society today. What would be the food, clothing situation? What would be the monetary system? It would be non-issue. You wouldn't be worrying about paying bills every other day, would you? Do you like being a hamster on a wheel? Over and over, go to work, come back, work and work and pay bill, come back, feed yourself. What is that? Look at the stress factor just from that. How much disease is, disease brought on by stress from work? From what? What kind of... It's an illusionary, we created this illusionary monopoly game. It's not really reality. We've created it. We created it within our own society. We can change it. A heartbeat. Free energy. We have it. Boom. Change. Done. We can implement it. But with your knowledge and humanity's knowledge around the world, we can implement it. In spite of them. We're more than them. And when I say them, don't worry, they will follow along. If humanity at large, its consciousness rises up and it embraces its self-worth, not lowering its head, being beaten up with fear and division and hate, we change. We have the ability to learn and grow. We have the ability to take choices and make our own destiny. Humanity can do this. You can do this. But it starts with knowledge and understanding of the truth. That we do have free energy. Look at the devices. Try to see and push them. Open their eyes. You know what? If you ask the average person, they're probably not even aware of it. Driving their little car, filling their gas, ask the politicians. Maybe they want to keep the same power control. Do they? They're ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean you're stupid. Ignorant means to ignore. It's choosing to ignore the facts. It's not being stupid. It's worse than being stupid. Ignorant is worse than stupid because it's ignoring the truth. It's ignoring facts. It's ignoring true history. Now, Like I said, knowledge is power, as they say. So what if you knew? Now I've told you what you've already known. Now what would you do with this ability if we implemented free energy? With this knowledge that you, as the average person on it, what would happen? What would happen around the humanity at large? What would happen individually at yourself? There is destiny, but the destiny is accumulated from our choices, and destiny is superseded by free will. Destiny is superseded again by free will. It's superseded by our choices. Our destiny is our choices, an accumulation of our choices. If we choose to implement free energy, if we choose to embark on that, we will change humanity for lifetimes to be. I just have a new grandchild. And what will their new grandchild and their grandchild be? And their grandchild. We reincarnate. If you choose not to believe in reincarnation, that's fine. Then think of it, what you're passing on to another, to another. We only are here temporarily on this physical planet Earth. What are you passing off to your kids and kids? What would change them for the better? We usually want the better for our kids and our kids' future. Everybody thinks that way. Everybody wants better for their kids and their kids and their kids. How are we making it better? We make things more comfortable, more video games, more this, more electronics. Remember, and then when I grew up, we had a record, and then record became the 8-track, and 8-track came in the cassette, and then the cassette became the CD, and now the CD became the iPod, the MP player. We've changed. Things simplified electronically. We are cell phones. Everybody has a phone. Now, instead of running off and putting your finger or popping a dime in a, or it used to be a dime in the, to make a phone call, then they had beepers. So they beep you with a number. Then the cell phone, they called the car phone. And then it got cheaper and cheaper. I remember it used to cost thousands of dollars a month. I had one. $1,000 a month, used $800. It used to be ridiculous. Now today we have a cell phone, not just talks, we can type on it to somebody, watch a show off of it, take pictures and send that picture. From Facebook, we contact each other through the internet. We have developed this out of our own choices. Our technology is a relation to our belief system. We chased it. The scientists and people are part of us, our consciousness. So just think, if we change this thing now, free energy, what would happen? Hey, remember that little phone bill you gotta pay? That cell phone will be free? Just think all the things that will be free. Internet, free. Your apartment, free. Food, free. Do you think you would have to wake up and work and that boss be screaming at you every other day? Wouldn't happen. Be gone. You'd be want to be a painting. Want to go explore. You do things to develop yourself, to heal yourself, to expand yourself. We're here. We have the choice to heal and grow. We have also the choice to remove obstacles and those challenges because we're over and above them. We have that choice. We have that choice because we have the choice to embrace our self-worth and do it. Just by this action is embracing your self-worth. So like I said, it is our destiny choice. The implementation of free energy. We have it. We always have had it. And I want to thank you all for listening. God bless you all. And I'm going to close with a real cool song called by Metallica called One. God bless you all and have a glorious, glorious weekend and happy Memorial Weekend. God bless you all, and I close on Metallica. When?
Doctors, you that kill me over and over again. Don't you have some message for an object?
He's the product of your profession.
Not mine.
Thank you.